For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, get down. Welcome to Nijin Footy Friday. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is my Cook Island Koi, Tinadel Arona, and we have all the news in the rugby league and rugby union worlds to go through, and he's right next to me. Here he is.
Kia ora, Sammy. Big
benching
week,
140 kilos for one.
Whoa, 140. Man. Come on, mate.
Was it 140 or no?
I reckon it was about 180.
Oh, stop it, mate. You had a lot of 5 kilo plates on there to make it look bigger.
Anyway. I was inspired from your bench. For everyone listening, I was inspired by Sammy's Instagram story, benching 100 kilos for 17 reps. Was it, Sammy?
16. I tried to catch Will Genya. I saw his one. He benched 100 kilos 22 times, and I was like, he's got me going.
Yeah, nice. I thought I'd match that and got a bit of a PB yesterday with my bench press. But this
I love
show...
talking about our fitness regimes, but let's get into what's more important.
Yes, the show's not about us. It's about the people and rugby league and rugby union. So, look, there's a big story this week with Jerome Loy. We mentioned it in our last couple shows, so we'll speak more about his the process that's happened.
And definitely give you our thoughts on this one.
Yeah, our thoughts. We've had round 20 in the NRL kickoff last night. We are in the business end now. You know, we've got teams chasing to make the top eight, finish in the top eight, and just survive this last bit of the regular season. So round 20 kicked off with the Panthers and Broncos. We'll do a bit of a review with that game shortly. But we do have Sala Tongatuki back joining us from the NRLW West Tigers. And we'll catch up with her recent success, I would say.
I would say she would be on cloud nine. Like, very, very happy with the start to the Tigers season. So, can't wait to see her smiling face and talk about the Tigers.
And if you are new to Nijin Footy, the last 2 years, she hasn't had the best start to the season.
Angry Sala. So we've seen Angry Sala.
We've had Angry Sala. Now we're going to get, hopefully, Happy Sala today. So, stay tuned with that one. And we've got Nemani Nondola Kudundrani joining us.
Definitely.
Live. I hope so.
I hope so, man. Please, Nems.
It's been reported that he has sent a text message saying he's good to go for Nijin Footy Fridays.
Perfect. Well, let's get into it.
Hi, it's Maima Dalfa. I'm from the Canberra Raiders. You're here listening to Nijin Footy.
Kick us off with Rugby League, T.
Rugby League. Where are we going to start? Jerome Luai?
Yeah, let's go there.
Let's go Jerome Luai, right at there. The top. We've got, he done the press release with him and Benji Marshall as well, the coach for the West Tigers. I know there was a bit of noise about some friction between those two, but I don't think, I think that's just a bit of clickbait.
Yeah, like, let's have a listen to some of the audio.
Was a bit of a shock, I'll be honest with you, but as a player, our game at this level is a business, and you know, the faster the athlete is able to comprehend that, I think the better understanding they have of where and why these decisions are made. Fully supportive of the club, of that. Knowing that there's some potential in these guys here, especially in the halves. And without opportunity, those guys can't prosper. And the last thing I wanted to be was a roadblock for another man's success. So fully supportive of the club, man.
So you're satisfied with the outcome?
Satisfied?
You're satisfied with the outcome?
I'm at peace, bro. I'm at peace. And like I said, I understand where the decision came from. And like I said, I'm here to support that decision and support my coach.
Geez, I'd hate to be a reporter. asking Jerome Luai some questions. He handled that like a true professional. I love how he's matured as a player as well, to see his growth over the last few years. And the way that he managed that press conference, he shut down a lot of rumors that were out there in the media.
Absolutely he did. And I think for both men, Benji being the head coach and Jerome being, obviously their captain marquee player, the only two people that would ever know if there's any friction, it's those two. But I don't think there is. I just think they handled this like men. And Benji, as a head coach, he has to always do what's best interest for the Tigers. Jerome obviously wants to do what's best for the Tigers, but he has to look after himself too. And they had to come up with this decision. And you'd definitely know more than me about this, but I thought, I thought both of them handled it really, really well. Because if that was the Tigers of old, I reckon this would have been a basket case.
Yeah. Well, you look at Jerome's comments, and this is what I mean when I mention maturity. He says, but as a player, our game at this level is a business, and the faster the athlete is able to comprehend that, the better understanding they have of where and why these decisions are made. So he did mention earlier it was a bit of a shock. So obviously when he receives that news, he's probably going, what's going on here? And then being able to reflect, being able to see it from the other point of view, he's now at this level of his career, understands that rugby league is also a business, and these decisions are made. And he made his decision to sign with the PNG Chiefs in 2028. Now the West Tigers, probably trying to do what's best for the club and Benji Marshall. So to have that level of maturity, I think it's good to see a player with that mindset, but also just shut down a little bit of that noise of there was no friction between the two.
Look, you got to, we really have to understand now as fans and people in the media, this is going to happen for players, because we've seen it too many times now where clubs have done the same thing to players, moved them on, and you're sort of left in the lurch. So players understand now, it is a business. You have to do what's best for you. And we've both been retired now for a while now. And you understand that everything that probably happened during your career that you thought, oh, this is going to linger on forever, rugby league moves past all this. So as a player, you understand that. And you're Jerome's obligation now obviously is to play good footy, get paid well, but it is to set up his family and his future, because as soon as you finish up, everyone moves on. As long as you've got yourself set up after footy, happy days for you and your family.
A couple other things I want to mention. So he also quotes, I'm at peace. I understand where the decision came from. And he's here to support this decision and support, he says, my coach. So he acknowledges, Benji as his coach. It's not like, and I support that man that's, running the club. He, acknowledges that. But also he says, the last thing I wanted to be was a roadblock for another man's success.
Yep.
And that's him understanding the future players that the West Tigers have, and him being there may be that roadblock. He's also, next year, he'll have to start preparing for PNG. PNG is not as easy as what people may think. He'll have to shift his family to a whole new country. He'll have to move out of his house that he's probably been living in for a long time. His kids as well, bring them out of school. His wife get comfortable with living overseas.
Yeah, all that in the background, all that background noise, and then trying to prepare to play for the Tigers. There's a lot going on.
And then the last thing is, luckily, there was an opportunity where a club wanted the services of Jerome Luai. If Parramatta Eels wasn't in this position, there may be no other club that would want to pay that salary or that difference and want the services of Jerome Luai for one year. It just so happened
that the Wallabies.
Or the Wallabies. It just so happened that Jonah Pezzett done it this year, and then he's going to Brisbane Broncos, and now it opens the opportunity for Jerome Luai. Is it the right decision for Parramatta Eels? We'll see next year.
Nothing's ever right or wrong until you get to see the outcome unfold. Everyone can speculate, or in hindsight, even now for Jerome Luai, people are going, was it the right signing for the Tigers? It still was the right signing for the Tigers. Has it worked out probably the way that they wanted? Probably not, but the NRL is a very, very tough competition. It is so hard to get wins in a long season. They were on fire. But for someone like Benji, again, we'll go back to him and that relationship. He is the best person to understand this whole sort of machine of the NRL and what decisions get made and how you can be burnt by clubs, where you can get other opportunities. Because when he left the Tigers, it wasn't on the best of terms before when he went to rugby union. But now those conversations that he would have with Jerome around, this is how, if you're going to do it this way or this is how we're going to do it, let's leave it so the club doesn't get dragged through the mud or your name doesn't get dragged through the mud and we can do it respectfully. So that's what I loved about it. But I do want to ask you though, T, for Parramatta, do you find it pretty strange that for the catchment and junior talent that they have, that they still haven't got like that next big thing, superstar, halfback, 5'8", coming through their system, because that is one of the biggest catchments in the NRL. And I'm still amazed that they're in a position where they can only offer a one-year deal for like a star player and they haven't produced their own yet.
Who's gone to Penrith Panthers recently?
Oh, Blaze. Oh, so he's come through that. Oh, Ethan Strange as well. He's gone to the Raiders.
So there's a couple.
What's going on there?
Yeah. Look, there's some questions there around the recruitment and, you know, how come they can't retain players. We've seen it. We've seen it with the Penrith Panthers of how they've been able to produce these great players, but also find a pathway where they can fit within their NRL roster.
Feeding all the other clubs.
So thinking long term, I know Jason Rolls is only second year in his at the club, so he's probably having to manage, you know, how do we create that system, and sometimes that takes a bit of time.
Yeah.
You know, if you look back at the Penrith Panthers when I was a junior there, they were signing players from, you know, different areas of Australia. Like, that's when they had Petro Sevenisiva as well.
Yes, very true. Yep.
The only local players at the time, there was a few of them, but not as many as what they had back then, what we have now. But there was like Michael Jennings, Luke Lewis, like those very, very top tier players.
Yep.
And I think, you know, when you're looking at Parramatta Eels, they're trying to figure out how can we keep them at the club, keep them happy, because what other clubs are doing, they're trying to come and snatch them up early.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, we've got a better opportunity. If Parra doesn't want to give it now, we'll give it now. And then we'll just hope that you become that player that Parramatta hope.
So true.
That it built. So
I think for Parramatta Eels fans, when you look at their lineup for next year, it looks very, very good.
Yeah, Mitch Moses
and those two.
Jerome Luai, Isaiah Yongi.
Man, there's some special players that will be playing there.
Some great back rowers there as well. Yeah. But let's shift over to round 20. Last night, they kicked off the Panthers versus the Broncos. Panthers, this was played at Panthers' home ground in Parramatta.
Panthers' home ground.
But the Broncos won this one 14 points to 12. I did not see this one coming.
Wet conditions.
Very wet conditions. And Reece Walsh was in a mood. Damn, he was good. Broncos scored 3 tries through Jordan Ricci, Katoni Staggs, and Josiah Karapani.
Reynolds out the back door to Walsh. Short ball on the support, but the tackle comes 12 metres out from the goal line. Desperate defence there on Xavier Willison. Short side left, on reach Walsh to Karapani. He borrowed a cape, flew through the air like Superman, and gets the try for Brisbane.
Reece Walsh set all 3 tries up. And he just demanded the ball. He took control of this game. Although he was playing fullback, he was playing the fullback role. He was playing, trying to be that first receiver role. He wasn't afraid to take risk in the wet as well. When it's wet weather footy, you tend to, you know, not throw that long ball or not, you know, take that risk with doing the old floater ball. But he was throwing the man. He wasn't afraid. He played with freedom. He was even putting up, you know, attacking kicks for the Broncos. I thought he was outstanding. And if he can keep this performance up every week for the next 7 weeks, Broncos are a chance.
So is that him saying to probably Adam Reynolds to not take a back seat, but just, or Adam Reynolds allowing Reece to, you know, take more control? Because obviously as a 7, you're driving the ship, and then you want to, you know, get to certain parts of the field. But it just seemed like Reece had total control and saying, "This is my team."
Yeah, there was a bit
of
that.
I'm doing this.
There was a bit of that where there was a moment where he didn't get the ball and went to Ben Reynolds Adam Reynolds. Ben Reynolds. I was thinking Ben Hunt.
Yeah,
and it went to Adam Reynolds. Reece Walsh looked a bit frustrated, but I think that's just the competitor in him. Yeah, yeah, he wanted to compete. He wanted to be on the ball, and, you know, whether that was a bit of state of origin as well, not getting selected, they lose the series, he's coming back and saying, all right, if that's the way it is, I'm going to perform and try and finish the season strong. There would have been some words from Madge as well, you know, creating a theme for the back end of the season.
That underdog theme.
Trying to give belief into the Broncos, but there was a bit of fight in this one as well, and you're just seeing the Broncos with that bit of desperation. So, great work to the Broncos. They now sit 13th on the live ladder.
So, that's their sixth win of the season?
Yeah, they were down eight games in a row.
Yeah, and so someone was saying, I think I've heard, you know, in different outlets saying that to make the top eight, and even I think you've even said it too, like you need about 13 wins. So they need to win, what's that, eight in a row?
I would say, so they're on 18 points. I would say 30 to 32 points would be the cutoff.
Would sneak them in.
The other thing is that they also don't have a good for and against. So with their wins, they'll have to creep up that for and against tally.
It's a good run home, but a tough run home too, because I know they've got a lot of games in Brisbane and they don't have to travel too much, but within that they've got the Dolphins, the Cowboys, the Warriors, they're all in there, so
yeah,
it won't be easy.
Seven games, Cowboys, Knights, Dolphins, Warriors, Raiders, Storm and Bulldogs, so I reckon they'll afford maybe to lose one of them, but they'll have to go on a big run.
Big run.
The other game that I'm looking forward to this weekend, the Tigers, and it's the Bulldogs home game. The Bulldogs sits 11th with 20 points. The Tigers were 14th with 18 points. I just think it's a huge game for the Tigers. They're close to full strength with only Taylor May, I think, maybe missing.
I'm going the Tigers on this one. I think off the back of that news, it's going to galvanise the team. The Tigers get it done.
Yeah, Arpy's on the extended bench. And the Bulldogs, both Critter and Viliami Kikau, they are on the extended reserves.
On the extended, so
yeah,
not...
Yeah, so they most likely won't be playing due to Critter losing injuries. The injuries. And Jacob Preston's a big in for the Bulldogs, but the Bulldogs are closing in a top eight finish. So, look, this one's probably an important game for both clubs, and we'll keep everyone up to date with that one on Nesian Footy Mondays and a few of the other games. So remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia.
What's up, guys? Robert Liotta here from the Wallabies. Tuning in, listening to Nesian Footy. Let's age.
Yes, it's time to talk a bit more rugby union here, or I'll kick it off and then we'll check in. Hopefully Nems is here to cover the Flying Fijian news for this weekend. But it is the Nations Cup and the Nations Championships. Round three, we have Samoa taking on Romania Sunday morning, 3:30 a.m. Samoan time. And we have Tonga versus Portugal Sunday morning, 8:45 a.m. Tongan time. So a couple of big games for our Pacific Island brothers. Hopefully they can get the win this week after some, I'd say, not poor performances, but they would have been disappointed with the way that both teams played, the results of it. And this is my take for both teams, T. Keep your discipline. Like, cheap penalties around scrum time, around line-out time, like, they are 100% avoidable. If they can do that better and limit at least, say, three of those, they're going to give themselves a better chance. And their error rates, just all the good stuff that they do, protect the ball. That's what they're two big keys for me.
Do you think fatigue plays a factor in
that? I reckon that is a big one as well. I would say now, fitness, especially mate, some of these players, if they've come off Super Rugby, like they wouldn't have played for, say, 3 weeks leading into this. I'm not too sure what they would have been doing. In the meantime,
Patrick, what's he been doing?
A bit of golf, I've seen, a bit of cooking in that meantime.
There you go.
But I would say between, and this is not just for this Nations Cup, this is actually leading into the World Cup. Like, fitness levels have gone through the roof now with the changes around the laws of the game, where you've got a shot clock now for kicking, you've only got a minute to goal kick, you've got a minute to pack a scrum, a minute to set up a line out. Like, ball in play is in there a lot longer than before. So, like, you have to be moving. Your engine needs to be big.
Do the athletes in rugby union, they live that lifestyle when it's off season? They're still training at a elite level to perform when it does come this opportunity, because they're not at club footy where, you know, they'll have to rely. This is when discipline does count, and they'll need to rely on their own self-discipline, routines, habits, because I do know with the rugby league players, and given the amount of money that's involved, these players are digging deep the off-season.
I reckon that's a really good point and a big difference. Like, the money that's involved with, say, rugby league, like, you're getting after it a bit more.
Yeah.
Some of these players have never experienced, like, that level week in, week out. So even if they're playing super, like, it's for Moana, like, they weren't... they're not on big money. So and it's not money's a motivating factor, but like when you increase the stakes a lot more, everyone rises again. So like you see a shift in a lot of our younger boys and girls at the moment in the age group levels. Like they're getting after it. Like you don't have to tell them anymore, hey, you better go do your extras because someone's going to take it. Like there's a lot more boys and girls doing the extras. So I think a mindset-wise, it probably does need to increase. And the other thing that I think that's a noticeable difference, say this is the difference between the Wallabies and the All Blacks and your players in rugby league, is the fact that say you've got a Liam Martin in your team.
Yeah. Setting the standards.
Setting the standards. You've got Artie Savea setting the standards. And we've seen that with Moana Pacifica. When Artie Savea came in and set a new standard, how did the results go for Moana?
Yep, and he changed that environment.
He changed that environment.
Because you don't even need to be a part of a Moana team. You can be have an impact in your own little community and have that influence.
Exactly.
By the way that you train, the way that you behave, the way that you carry yourself. And I only mention that because a good friend of ours, Masada Yosefa, rest his soul, he was that guy for a lot of us.
He was that guy
kids.
For me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't understand, like, yes, some of the other things that he could have worked on around discipline, but when it came to working hard and putting in the reps, putting in the hours and take you to that dark place within your mind to say that I'm going to push further, that was him. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have understood what it meant to sort of
Same
go to
here.
That next level. And I just think, you know, for our, you know, for Samoa and Tonga, we need more of those leaders. Because we see Critter do it for the Dogs. As I said, we've mentioned Artie Savea.
We've mentioned Jerome Luai.
Jerome Luai.
Reasons why he went to West Tigers.
Exactly. So he's changing those behaviours. In Samoa and in Tonga, when you don't have, I guess, an Artie coming back to Samoa, or you don't have, say, someone I can't off the top of my head coming back to Tonga to be able to set those standards, someone within that group has to really stand up and lift so everyone's on the same page. And I believe that's going to be the difference. Those leaders need to stand up. And then I reckon that's when you start having a shift in errors, starting you minimize your errors, you minimize your penalties, and then you can get into your flow of footy. So let's see if that happens. But between now and World Cup, that's the shift that we need to see. But good luck to both teams, and obviously good luck to Fiji. We'll talk about Fiji in more depth with NEMS, but I just want to shift our focus now towards Magic Mark. Is that the name on the street that they're giving?
Magic Mark.
Magic Mark. I know you're more of a Magic Mike man. You like to do those dance moves, eh?
Mark Nawanganitawase.
Yes, heading over to Japan to play rugby at the end of this year. And a lot of chat has come out around him trying to extend a two-week contract within his NRL contract so he can be available for the Kangaroos or Fiji Bati to play in the Rugby World Cup because his contract ends, and then obviously he can't be a part of that World Cup if he doesn't have a...
Yeah, so his NRL contract will end 1st of November.
Yep.
And because he hasn't signed to another NRL club, he won't be eligible. Oh, sorry, he would not...
He's not in Rugby League.
Yeah, he's not under Rugby League sanction. So he won't be able to play in the Rugby League World Cup.
Yeah.
But there was talks of him signing a two-week extension or a few-week extension so that he can play in the Rugby League World Cup.
Yeah, and
but that's shut down.
Yeah, it's been shut down. It's been shut down, and even for the Wallabies to go play the second half of the Nations Championships, even that's shut down because
before he goes to Japan, is it Japan he's going to?
Yeah, he's going to Japan. He's going to the Saitama Panasonic Wild Knights.
Yeah, but their season doesn't start till
December.
But,
so when he finishes league, he'll go over there and do a short preseason because they would have already started their preseason, and then go straight into pretty much round one over there.
Yep.
And I was when I was seeing some of the news that was being reported around, you know, can they change it? Can they ring up, you know, the Japanese club over there and potentially, you know, make a minor shift to his deal so that he can come and have a delayed start? And it just made me laugh because there's one thing I know about Japanese contracts, and especially at Panasonic, being a former player there, whatever your terms and conditions are at the start and what you sign for, and once that's locked in, you honour that to a T. All parties honour that.
What's Panasonic compared to, so if you were to compare it to a club in the NRL,
who's a Roosters?
So Panasonic's the big club.
They're a big club there, but so yeah, like their Kantoku, which is like their GM, their Nick Politis.
Yep.
His name's Ijima-san. He has an aura about him, like where you just know that when he he comes into a room, everyone just starts bowing. And like, Zimazan, like as in, excuse me, and they're bowing. Like
players as well.
Players, man, even like Robbie Deans, like the head coaches and stuff, like they just know that.
Respect.
He has the respect.
Yeah.
And that's Japanese culture, like hierarchy. So when he says something, like that gets honored. And if you go against what he says, he won't say anything. He'll probably, say for instance, he let it happen for Mark and he was able to give him 2 weeks. It would be Mark, you'd see out his contract, probably wouldn't really talk to him or anything, but the person that got Mark over there, say their agent that got him over there, he would never be able to get another player into Panasonic again.
True.
That would be the knock-on effect if they tried to change things. They won't forget
that he didn't honour the contract or didn't honour his word.
Yeah, and that would come back on the agent, and the agent's never going to risk that because everyone wants to go to Panasonic. They've got the funds to pay players well, and they are a premier club in Japan, and they're just going to keep getting better and better and better. So I think for someone like Mark, it is definitely, from experience-wise, that you just go and honour that contract straight away because it'll be worth it in the long run.
Before we move on, just quickly on Mark, do you see him coming back to rugby league?
I reckon he does.
Not long after next rugby... His rugby contract?
Yeah, I reckon straight after his 2-year deal with Panasonic, I reckon he's coming back to rugby league.
Well, he goes Wallabies.
Well, I don't even know if he's going to make the Wallabies because there's like they're still saying there's these things overseas players where they're only going to choose a certain amount.
Oh, so he's not signed to a
Super Rugby club. Not signed to a Super Rugby team.
Oh, he's just Japan.
It's just Japan.
And then he would hopefully try and come back and play a World Cup from Japan, like similar to what Artie's done.
Exactly. So that's what's going to... Oh, well, no, difference with Artie, he's signed a...
Sabbatical.
An All Blacks deal, but Mark hasn't signed a Wallabies deal.
Oh, I thought that he was...
Nah, that's gone that's over the, there
for that reason.
No, that's the difference where he's just gone over there. So he will play the whole season with the League One, which is good for Panasonic because they don't have to worry about him leaving for an international window unless he gets chosen. So that's probably in his contract. If he gets chosen for the Wallabies, then he'll be able to go. But yeah, all of his money's coming from
Panasonic.
So, and I believe he will go back to league after it because the salary cap's gone up. The 20 teams are now in. If he hasn't made the World Cup for rugby next year, what else is he going to do?
You know what else I reckon will keep in his mind? State of Origin.
Oh, I reckon he's got the bug.
The bug, the victory, winning in Brisbane, 2 games, very good 2 games for New South Wales Blues, and they would have built that brotherhood from... He would have experienced the loss, but then the transition into going, the challenge going to Brisbane... Them winning the series in Brisbane, I reckon that would have made an impact,
and him going to Japan would extend his shelf life in league for longer.
Yeah, okay.
Because he would have had this thing of like, "Wow, this was intense. These 2 years, give the body a bit more of a break." Because in Japan, the game is fast; like it is very fast. It's not as physical, and you're out of the limelight as well. Even though he's over there on big money, like he can walk around freely. No one's not going to know who he is. He gets a worldly experience, comes back fresh, straight into the Roosters, straight into the Blues, Premiership, Origin Series winner. Done, dusted. Marky Mark, go enjoy your time.
For
the next World Cup. There you go. But I thought that would be something that we should touch on, give our listeners a bit of an insight into Japanese contracting over there. But that's us for rugby until we get over to NEMS. But where are we heading now?
We are heading over to Sala Tongatuki from the West Tigers NRLW team.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, it is time to hear from our NRLW superstar. She represents the West Tigers, the New South Wales Blues. She's played for the Gillaroos and the Fetu Samoa. It is our NRLW icon, Sala Tongatuki. Sala, it's been quite a successful couple of weeks for you, hasn't it?
What's it mean? Something different. Not used to it, but we've been told.
How good's winning though? Like honestly, like the difference between winning and losing and getting off to a good start. Like Monday's different with your reviews. Like the energy's different. Everyone's happy. You're going to the cafes together. But what's it been like? You know, after the change rooms and then leading into a week, the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been great. Like the win obviously helps. But one thing like we've is like the compliments that we're getting outside of the footy from just the oppositions and that. They're saying that we look like a raw, connected team, and our culture just shows before the footy, and that's just for us. Like that's a big win. That's something we've been trying to obviously drive, not just on the field but off the field connection. But yeah, no, it was just different last year. We never actually, we used to always just like, we'd have like a bit of a gap before we would see each other, even if we did win. I think it was just with the turnaround and the recovery. So we've actually made a thing where every Mondays we actually have to come in and try and get the review done, the recovery. That way we can flush that game and just move on to the next job kind of mentality.
Yeah.
And it's been good for the girls. So they're so excited to come in on Monday. Even just the reviews, like it's so different environment in a theatre for the girls. It's been like successful. It's a good feeling. So yeah.
Yeah. West Tigers, your team winning the first two games of the NRLW season. You had the Eels in round one and you beat them 28 points to 16. You had the Cowboys in round two last week. You won that one 30 points to 18. What do you think you girls have done well these first two games on the field?
We heard, we know our defense. It's been outstanding for us and we know defense wins games, but like, obviously, teams, we would start our first half really well. We'd get off to a really good, strong lead and going into halftime. But we just hurt ourselves, like, we just lack discipline there. You know, we're about to finish a tackle set and on a fourth or fifth, like, a penalty gets blown and then we're doing another set of six, like, tackling. And the more you're tackling, you're just going to be fatiguing. And that's where, like, you know, no team's actually scored through us through the middle. They've had to go around us, which is, like it's not bad, but like, it's not something we want to, you know, continue to happen for us. So, and I think in that last game, Cowboys, it was crazy because if you look at the scoreboard when it was like first half and we were leading by like three tries or something, our possession was only like 44% of the ball. Which was like, we knew like, damn, like our defense was, it's holding us here. And it's keeping us in this game, but yeah, we can't let that happen. Against like these top two teams, like Broncos and Roosters, they know how to score points. They know how to take their opportunities, with errors. And, that's something we're trying to limit, going into this weekend's game. So, yeah.
What about an attack, Sala? Like, I remember last year watching some of your games where you created some really good opportunities, but just couldn't quite finish or were maybe a bit afraid to even just play that, with that overlap out there and someone just conceded with the tackle. Like what's working now with the communication out there, with your connection, that it's allowing you to, you know, score some pretty good points?
Oh, everyone just has to know their job, know their role. And that's something we've been, our coach has been into us at trainings. And one thing we're really grateful for is we've never had it in any of our last three seasons, a drone. Where we can watch our training sessions and go over the like
the aerial, girls, the aerial footage, like so you can just see the whole field. That's made a big difference.
We don't get it every session, but we do. There is one session we do use it for, and it's the one where we do a lot of the footy stuff and cycle. And that's been a big help for us, for the girls, just knowing their roles. I'm a bit better. Like it's hard when a coach is like someone just speaking to their footy language to you. You know, do this, do that. And you're like, but like really you don't know. Until like everyone's a visual learner, they'll go look at it and they'll be like, yes, wait, they'll go back to training and fix that. So I think just the girls, just taking a bit of accountability on themselves, even just getting around. It's been healthy to see like Lasana Lutu and that, like she's obviously been a big name that was talked up coming through the pathways and just a young uprising star. And she obviously went into her shell a bit, but just her going under the the guidance of Racine, it's been great. Like, she'll go and ask Ray, you know, what do I do here, and then what do you want, like, to do together? Like, it's just really, like, nice to see. Even Faith Minera and Brookie Tolita, you know, like, those girls just picking Ray's brain, and that's what you need. Like, we needed experienced players as well. And we've just got the right players, like, with experience. Like, you got Holly Wheeler. She's just got that aggression, and, like, she just doesn't care. Like, she's like, I don't care who you are. If you're not in my jersey, like, I'm not going to let you stand over us. Like, kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
I like that. You also got
it's
the,
just
the
confidence.
Got the two enforcers up front in Salah, Tognatuki, and Kizzy Yaps. But, look, we're only two rounds into the season, and currently there are four, including yourselves, there are four undefeated teams. You have the Broncos at the top with four and against, and Raiders and Roosters. So when you're looking at the start of the season, which team have you, you know, kept your eye on or seen or been impressed with so far?
I've actually kept my eyes on the Knights.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I know they're not in the top four, but they're in the top six. And they're just that game they last week against the Roosters. I was really impressed. Roosters had so many opportunities, but they were just turning them over and just competing, like, with them. And I think there was only just a conversion that they just lost to the, you know, Roosters. And they're such a star-studded team, but just they just got a really well-balanced team as well. Players that had were playing out of position, like Bo normally plays fullback, and she'd come back from Harvey, and he's just put her into – BJ's put her into six. And she, I felt like she did a really great job there. So they've just got that next start. Like, they've just got depth there in their squad for the Knights. And,
Yeah, the Knights had a big win in round one over the Sharkies.
True,
and then, you're right, they just lost to the Roosters by 2 points, and they'll play the Dragons this Sunday. We spoke about the team that you've kept an eye on, which individual player have you been impressed with the start of the season?
I'm obviously going to pick my own teammate. I'm a bit biased here. Faith Minera, proud Māori girl from Brisbane, and she converted from Sevens Union. And the coolest thing about Faith right now is she just probably needed the right person to teach her the code. She got signed over as a halfback, and that's all she was ever told to do last year in our team. And when our coach Sandy had watched her in our preseason and her skill, her fitness, he was like, "Nah, you're more than just a half." And he's just taught her the ropes of, you know, the half, and just her coming off the bench, she's such an impact. Her ball handling skill is unreal. Like, I've not seen that side of Faithy even since she come last year, and it was just a confidence. Like, you just needed someone to believe in you, and I've just seen Faithy smile throughout the season, her, like, training, then she's just a different a light bubble at training, and she is coming second on the Dally M ladder at the moment right now. So to have her up there, it just speaks volumes of the confidence of her footy. And, yeah, I know she's ready to take on a big big job this weekend as well. So, yeah.
Yes, a big job indeed. You girls, the West Tigers, will be heading up to Brisbane to play the Broncos on Sunday. We wish you all the best, Sulla. But
thanks,
before we go, it is Women in League Round. And first of all, I just want to give a big shout-out to yourself. I know you, you've been quite an inspiration for the people.
A pioneer, I'd say.
Yes, out in your community.
Likewise, boys.
And, yeah, what does Women in League Round mean to you?
Oh, it means everything. Just the selfless act that we know our own mums and women in our lives do for us to be who we are and do what we do. So, yeah, we can't do it. I feel like they just show a different side of love. I don't know, like, it's just a special round, and I think it should be every round, if I'm being honest. Even with the boys, I've seen a bit of content around who inspires them, and it just gives you a nice reminder that just don't forget those who are there first before you, before the fans and the noise and stuff like that. So even in the highs and the lows, they're the first ones we go back to. Even being married or having partners, you know, you always go back to your mum and that, or your grandma, whoever's cared for you growing up. So, yeah. big shout out to all the special women out there. Continue to do great things and, yeah, inspire.
Beautiful. Some great words there,
Sulla.
Wish you all the best. Go and smash it. Let's make
three
it
from three.
Three from three. Go and take down the defending champs. But
It's never happened. We've never had a three in a row, and everyone's
what a better way to start it. Women in league round. Three from three on the shot. Top of the table. Sulla, player of the match. Four tries.
And we will see you again next Friday.
Week to talk all about it.
Thanks, Sulla.
Take care, Sulla. Thank you. Bye.
Appreciate it. Hey, it's Wolf Skelton here, and you're listening to Asian Footy.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
Yes, it's time to shift back to Rugby Union and welcome our former Flying Fijian, Nemani Nondolo Kurindrani. He's been MIA for a very long time. I was getting a bit nervous because I was going to call in someone else because he didn't answer my text message, but he's here. He's back. Where in the world is Nems at the moment?
First of all, sorry, I was late. Just a few things on. But, I'm in Fiji at the moment, currently back home, and, life's good.
It's good to have you here. I know that you were in Kiribati last week, so everything all went well there as well. You're sweet.
Yeah, all went well in Kiribati. You know, they've got good fish and lobster there, so I ate a lot of fish, got my protein up, and as you know, I'm on the health buzz at the moment. Well,
yeah, you can hardly notice, but anyway, let's move
Monday,
on to...
Start on Monday. Brisbane over the weekend, actually.
Oh, you're in Brizzy. He's Brizzy over the weekend.
Oh, Brizzy as well. So, mate, what happened there?
Yeah, caught up with my mate Will Genya. Just caught up and see how he's doing and watch some club rugby. I was actually meant to go to the Wallabies game. I had tickets, but I never went, so it was too cold for me. So,
okay, I thought you were going to say...
I just watched it at the pub up the road.
I thought you were going to say I was supposed to go to the gym with him because me and myself and T... We're talking about him at the top of the show. He inspired me to get back on the bench and do a couple of little lifts, you know. He's in good shape, Willie G, so he's very inspiring. But anyway, all good. Good to see that you guys caught up. But let's catch up on some rugby because it's been a minute in Fiji. Yeah. We got to unpack that one, that performance last week. You know, when you first saw kickoff and then obviously the results, yeah, how did you see that one?
Yeah, it was disappointing, wasn't it? The scoreline, I just thought the boys were a bit flat. I just thought they just looked fatigued. Again, you know, you're playing against a team who just got belted by the world champions in their home ground. So, you know, they were out for some vengeance. It just wasn't the Fiji that we know, the Flying Fiji that we know. We had all the players and I just don't think they threw a punch. And
do you reckon there was a bit of pressure from some external noise around, you know, that the commitment of the Fijian players, you know, that added to their performance?
Yeah, man. Like, and you know what? Like here in Fiji, man, there's so much noise going around. Everyone's an expert. Everyone knows what's best. Everyone's played. You know, you think that everyone's played for Fiji and played at that level, and you know, I think you know probably got to the best of them as well. Obviously. Coach under pressure, new coach. I feel there's a bit of disconnect there between management and players. You can see it, you can feel it, being a former player and just been in that environment before. And yeah, it's just you just hope that they can, you know, go out there and play, put some respect in the jersey and put in a solid performance against Scotland, who I thought played really well against South Africa.
Just on that, Nem, so I said it on Monday, like patience is a big thing here. Like, everyone's worked so hard to get Fiji in the position that it is in right now, and they a Tier 1 nation now. There's a drawer there. There's a lot of things happening, and I just can't understand why we want to make things happen straight away and be the world champs right now. Like, this is just the beginning of some very good things that are going to unfold in the future. So why do you think there is that disconnect when there's so many positive things happening out there?
Yeah, well, look... I think the elephant in the room is the new coach. I think there's, you know, prior to this, obviously with Mick there last year, and you know they were heading in the right direction. You know, they're probably still heading in the right direction. I just think with the new coach, I think if we talk about being patient and if we're genuine about giving him time, you know, right now everyone's calling for his head. Everyone's telling him that he should be sacked, this and that. But, you know, it's a very, I just think we need to, like I said, we need to be patient. You know, I don't think three games is enough for us to get a gauge on how good this team can be. In my opinion, like for me, I don't, you know, with that scoreline on the weekend, just for me, it's a dramatic, like it's just, there's a big difference from when they just lost to the Wallabies last year to now, if that makes sense. Same team. It's like, you know, a few new inclusions, but we've made this decision to give the, you know, Senior Rusi the coaching role. You know, it's time I think we should just bite the bull and have faith in him and let him go. You know, I don't think, like I said, three games is not enough.
Well, I thought that Welsh game
To get a gauge on, you know, if they're going to do well.
I thought the boys were outstanding. Like some of the tries and the opportunities they created, like from the kickoff, you could just see the style that Fiji wanted to play with. Yes, they didn't get the execution right, and still discipline is an issue. But to have that performance and then a week later, not even, as you said, really throw a punch, and like just probably the first time I've ever seen Fiji not attack like and have that Fijian flair the way that they did. So like, in a space of a week, like there was big changes there, not even just from that Wallabies game that you're talking about from last year.
No, you're right. And it's like the question is where did it all go? You know what I mean? And I just think, like you said, with the Welsh game is a completely different game to what they were playing. I get it. You know, they want to play the flying Fijian style, the Fijian flair. I get that. You see that here in Fiji with Skipper Cup and Schoolboys level. But when you get to that top, when you're getting to the top, you got to play with a bit of structure. And yes, you can play running rugby and, you know, the flair, Fijian flair. I get that. But you've got to earn the right to in today's game. Like in the 80s, probably get away with it. But teams are just smart now. They'll pick you off. And if anything, I think better teams will encourage you to play that game and be patient. We saw that in the Welsh game. Let's face it, Wales didn't play exciting rugby. They literally played in the area, they scrummed, they line out, they did all that, nailed that, and they just scored off those, you know, off their set pieces. Whereas I guess now the boys were trying to run from everywhere, and I get that, you can do it, but you know, like you say, and it's that cliche, isn't it? You've got to earn the right to play in the right areas.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, hopefully they can turn things around this weekend when they play against Scotland. Some positives there. We've got Vakatawa debuting at 13, Rambitu potentially debuting off the bench as well. For those type of players, especially like, say, Vakatawa, you know, coming from France, I believe it was, now he gets to represent Fiji. You know, what do you think it's going to do for the team having those type of players in there?
Yeah, I think it's really good. I think it's great to see Vidimi come back. You know, he's obviously all that knowledge he's learnt in France, and we've seen that here when he was with the Drua. You know, even though he played five games, I think he was really instrumental in settling the nerves of some of our backs. I'm really excited to see Rambitu play, you know, come off the bench. Hopefully they'll slot him at fullback. I was really surprised with them starting Caleb Munce at fullback. I was really surprised with that. I would have thought they'd put Rambitu in there being your fullback, your natural fullback. But, you know, you can tell now they're going for a kicking game. I think having Caleb Munce there adds another kicker to their kicking game, which is, you know, from my understanding, I feel that they're probably going to change their game plan a little bit and play kick a little bit more against Scotland. But yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting. You know, you got Elia Vanikavata going back to number 8, which, you know, I questioned that last week. Lipani Bautier playing at 8, like it's, you know, some unusual picks, but, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not a coach. I'm here sitting on the couch, you know, watching them. So it'll be good. You know, again, but we've just got to, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a real tough game. I just hope they start well and keep the discipline down.
Now, looking forward to the clash there, especially with Sionetu Bolotu for Scotland in the midfield with the midfielders that Fiji have.
Yep.
But speaking of coaches, you are a coach. And are we any closer to an update on the Drua head coaching role here? Because you told us, AT, what did he tell us?
He had some news for us.
We're still waiting. We've been very patient. We've talked about patience. Ago. Yeah.
You know what? And right, boys, you guys have been very patient. You know, but sometimes, you know, one thing I've learned, boys, in management after moving on from players, things change. You know, it's a business at the end of the day, and things take time. And I'm sorry to say, another week, boys, but I'll come to you with something.
The only person that's changed is you, mate. You
want to hear a funny story?
I do. I walked into the office. Enlighten us, please.
Right. So I walked into the office with his button up top. I'm, you know what I think? I'm sick of wearing polo shirts. I'm sick of wearing singlets and t-shirts. I actually want to look respectable. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to wear this today. I wore it into the office, and everyone just laughed at me, going, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? You've got your shirt on.
Got me.
Like, because that's what they want output, not just you to look good. Yeah. They want actual outcomes that you're going to deliver.
No, you're right. And it got me thinking. I sat down at my desk for 10 minutes thinking, what am I doing here today?
Anyway. On that note, Nems, was it worth the wait, T?
Yeah, it was worth
it. It's always worth the wait. Man, stop making us wait a while because we're going to be live. This show's going to be live very soon, and we need our timings to be on song. So Fiji time's not going to cut it anymore, okay? So
I need you. Look, I apologize, boys. I apologize. You know, like I said, boys, you know when you train, all the mistakes, all the stuff you want to try, you do it in training. This is training. So the moment we go live, boys, we're on fire, boys.
We're live from next week. All right, Nems, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure, and hopefully the Flying Fijians can get up this weekend and we can talk some positive footy next week.
And I just want to just one more thing. I just want to wish our Fijian Drua women's girls hosting the first ever semi-finals here on home soil. I've volunteered to commentate. Life's good. It's all about giving back to the people, lads. How good is it?
Well, hey, is it going to be a big crowd at the Sugar City at Churchill?
Churchill, 1 o'clock. It's going to be massive. It's massive. We win. The girls win tomorrow. They get a home grand final.
It is a home grand final. How good!
It's going to be crazy. It's crazy, boys. So it's Drua madness here at the moment in town. And everyone's looking forward to it. So big shout out to the girls.
Perfect. Yeah, good luck to the girls this weekend. One another. And we'll check in again with you soon. Nemani Nandola Kundrani. Take care, brother. Mothe.
There, boys.
Smoke. You better lock it up. You better lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke.
Yes, welcome back to Nijan Footy Fridays, and this is Lock and Smoke, where we wrap up our show with our tipping competition. We have two teams to pick.
Yes.
One's a lock-in, one's a smoky. The lock-in being the favourite, the smoky being probably the team that most likely not going to win. And we keep a score at the end of the year. The winner gets a full feed. Speaking of feeds, when you get that one from Jacob from Nija Daily.
Yes, please.
For State of Origin. And yeah, the loser has to buy the winner a full course meal. So I am winning 21 points to 16.
I can't believe I got both right last week. Got the smoky right as well.
Yeah, you got the Dragons. Who did the Dragons play last week?
No idea, but we should have stated that a smoky should be worth 2 points.
Nah.
You know, because it's...
Well, we have to agree that it's a genuine smoky then.
Yeah, okay.
Because some of your smokies...
have been genuine smokies.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, please. Anyway, let's just keep it one. Like, you're too competitive.
But anyway, who you got for your lock-in?
Right, I'm going to go the Fijian Drua women in their semi-final.
To win at home, yes. Yeah,
against the Reds. So those girls over there, get the job done. Please get the job done. Get our home final in Lotoka, in the Sugar City. I'd love to see a trophy being lifted on Fijian soil. That will be amazing. So you're my lock for this week, and you win this week. Can I go a lock? If they win this week, can I lock them in again for next week?
Yeah, you can do that, mate.
Thanks, mate. So that's my lock.
All right, my lock in this week will be the Warriors beating the Dragons tomorrow at home. So Warriors in the NRL.
Okay.
You will be my lock-in. Who's your smoky?
West Tigers for Sulla.
Oh, that's a great smoky.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Thanks. Thanks, bro.
All right. I will go the... I need a smoky. Where are we going, T? Where are we going to go? I will go the Eels to beat the Titans in the NRLW.
Oh, that is a smoky. That's a definite
Eels
smoky.
Eels haven't won.
Yeah,
I'll go
okay.
That one.
Fair enough. There we have it, T. Done and dusted. For our Friday show. Hey, and make sure you tune in on Monday. We have a great guest. If you're thinking PNG Pathways and you want to hear rawness on where this raw talent is.
The future.
The future of PNG Chiefs. This is the chat for you on Monday. We've pre-recorded it, so perfect. Unreal. Ka kite. Until
have a
next
great
time.
Weekend, everyone, and we will see you on Monday. Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.